Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Therapy for Me. And I am erring a little bit because I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to talk about. I've got a few ideas. I don't know how long it's going to last, actually. I find myself almost wanting to avoid what's going on politically, simply because it's so ridiculous and it's quite scary. I'm going to have to talk about it at some point, but I don't know if this is the week or not. So we'll see how we get on. I've got a couple of things to start with, and let's see if I end up wanting to go there. Anyway, we need a bit of twangy guitar, so let's have that right about now.
Monday.
I want to start with reflections on the weekend, because you might have remembered me mentioning that I was going to be at the guitar show over the course of the last weekend. Now, for those of you who have forgotten, or if you've never quite picked up what I was talking about with this is an event in Shirley near Solihull. It's at a place called Cranmore Hall. And Cranmore Park, one of the two. Anyway, Cranmore something, which is kind of an exhibition venue, and it's dedicated guitar, and it's full of manufacturers, large and small, and we invite the general public along, or Jason invites the general public along, and it's a fantastic weekend. So if you're in that space, and if you want to look at loads of guitar things and pedals and amps and pickups and all manner of things, it's the place to be. There's a load of UK-based manufacturers go there. There's an acoustic room, there's a whole load of electrics, and there's, for the first time this year, there was a bass hall, and he also has a live stage, and there's acts on over the weekend. Start at 11, finish at 4, so the whole thing wraps up at 5 o'clock, and for the last few years, I've got involved helping to organise the live stage for the 2 days, sort of getting artists in the right places, getting them on stage, getting them off stage, introducing them, all those kind of things, trying to manage that side of it, really. And it's a fast turnaround. It's like what you would get if you had a mini festival in a room without warts and all, because in reality everybody watches everybody getting on and off stage, and it's all done with the audience effectively in the room, so a little bit of sound check and those kind of things, and it's done really quick. We are talking about 35 to 40 minute performances, and then a 20 minute turnaround where you get one act on, you get another act, one act off, another act on. You get you do the line check, you give them the sound they want, you get the monitor mix that they want, and that can be anything from a 4 or 5-piece band through to a solo artist. So that's what I kind of get involved doing. And I meet some great people, and it's fantastic, and I had a great time. What I want to talk to you about, apart from the fact it was just fab, it was just a lovely, lovely couple of days. Tiring, but a lovely couple of days. And it's great to see all the people who work there and all those kind of things. And I'm incredibly fortunate to be able to do something like that and get paid for it. Bless him, because Jason pays me for what I do with him. And just so you can join the dots, Jason and I do a podcast called 9-42, which is based on a set of guitar string gauges. And that's all to keep the guitar show vibe going through the course of the year. That's what that podcast was intended to do. Though, to be fair, we've been fairly lax on it of late, but that's something we'll attend to. Anyway, back to where I was starting, which is the first act on the Saturday at 11 o'clock was a guy called Craig Joyner. Now, Craig Joyner played in a band called Romeo's Daughter, and he's played with various bands over the years, and he has written various songs that have been recorded by the likes of Shania Twain and Heart and other acts. And his first album was produced by a chap called Mutt Lange, who did all the, well, he did AC/DC, then he did Def Leppard, then he did Bryan Adams, and then he did, and then he married and produced Shania Twain. So to give you some idea of where Mutt Lange fits in this, for people who don't know who Mutt Lange is, then if you think about the biggest albums, or some of the biggest albums that AC/DC had, absolutely the biggest albums that Def Leppard had, because he produced Pyromania and Hysteria. If you think about the man who did the Waking Up the Neighbours album for Bryan Adams, which had everything I do on it, and then you think Shania Twain. You've got some idea of how big a deal Mutt Lange is and was. And Craig's first, or the Romeo's Daughter album, was produced by Mutt Lange. None of that is relevant to what I'm going to say to you now. And it was actually nearly a four-minute preamble to what I was going to say, which was Craig's set was astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. He stood on stage with an acoustic guitar and he blew the room away. And bearing in mind, it's really hard getting people into the room for that first slot. And he absolutely nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. To the point where I was just stood there, just transfixed, as was everybody who was in the room who heard him. It was a really nice, relaxed, chill vibe where people sat on the floor and we were just literally marvelling. Now, one of his albums is available on Spotify. It's called Art of Landing. I've been listening to it all through the week and I would wholeheartedly recommend, if you've got access to that through any of the streaming platforms, you give that a go and see what you think. And then his new album is available to purchase from his website, and I'll put the link on there as well. And I will be in the process of doing that myself because I need to hear that album and because he played a few of the tracks. So just, it doesn't happen that often when somebody comes along. I mean, we had it last year with a chap called Blair Dunlop, who was great, and it's happened again this year, and it's, yes, just yes.
Tuesday.
Okay, so 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in, whatever it is, nearly 7 minutes in, and I've made a decision, which is I am going to mention politics, but only really, really quickly. And all I'm going to say, amidst all the nonsense, and certainly amidst all the nonsense that happened Thursday, Friday, and everything that went on, I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Starmer, who I think has been really impressive for the past week and a bit. I thought he was impressive when he went to the US, and I think he's been particularly impressive over the weekend, and I think the way he's reacted to everything is exactly what a leader does. That's what a quiet, calm leader does in this set of circumstances, and I'm going to leave it at that, and we'll come back to it a different day, but I'm not ready yet. But I have been impressed. We have found, for the first time, I think we've found what happens when you have grown-ups around when things go wrong. This is what happens, and I've been impressed. I was minded, and this is a real shift, okay, I was minded towards a programme called Sea of Souls. And Sea of Souls was one of these drama things that had a kind of a sort of, not sci-fi, but it had a kind of ghost edge to it. And it was made in Scotland, and it was Bill Paterson, and it was based out of the University of Glasgow. And I think it was either two or three series of these kind of spooky tales, supernatural tales. And I don't know why I thought of it. And I had to search it up, and I couldn't remember what it was called. And I had to search up his name to get to it. And I found it. You can't get it anywhere to stream, as far as I can tell. It's been available at points in time, but it's not really linked to a streaming service at the moment. You can buy it. It's one of these things that these series, you know, when you can't stream them to buy, they then seem very expensive. So I'm not in a rush to buy it, but I'm probably going to have to try and find it some way, because I kind of want to watch it again, even if it turns out to be terrible. So if you can remember Sea of Souls, please drop me a note in the comments, because I might be the only one who can kind of remember this thing. I remember it with fondness. I did enjoy watching it. I'd quite like to see it again, terrible though it probably will end up being. Saying that, I seem to recall it was a good cast as well. And he's eminently watchable, so Sea of Souls. Anybody?
Wednesday.
I have dual smugness. I have dual smugness going on. And it started today, if you're believing that I'm recording on Wednesday, but I'm not. But it started on Wednesday. and it's been reinforced. So it went from single smugness to dual smugness today. Okay, so single smugness was the fact that I cut the lawn on Wednesday. And there is something about that feeling you get when you do the first cut of the lawn for the year and your garden suddenly is transformed into something that doesn't look like it will look like through the rest of the winter. And if you've done it and you're ahead of the curve, and as far as the street's concerned, I'm kind of ahead of the curve, and I've mentioned it to a few people in passing on the phone and could tell that they were slightly jealous of the fact that I've done my lawns because it's in their to-do list. This is a bloke thing as well, by the way. I don't know if it's a bloke thing. It might not be a bloke thing, but the people I've spoken to about this were blokes, and they were all a bit jealous that I'd done my lawns because, as I say, it was in their to-do list. So I've got a lawn smugginess thing going on. And then fast forward to Friday, which is obviously today, even though you're listening to Wednesday, you know the drill. I've got dental smugness because I did the whole hygienist visit and the dentist visit this morning, which included x-rays, my two-year x-rays, none of which I like. We've spoken about this before. You know I don't like the dentist. I'm really uncomfortable in the dentist chair. So to have got that out of the way, that gives me a certain dental smugness as well, because unless you've also been today, you're going to be going to the dentist before I am, theoretically, if you're on a six-month turnaround. So I've got that little smugness thing going as well, knowing that whatever goes on and whoever I bump into and whatever they've done and however amazing they're looking or whatever a good time they appear to be having, the chances are they've got to visit the dentist before I have got to visit the dentist next.
Thursday.
My new weekly long run takes me all the way around home further. I think I've talked about this. But if I haven't, it's quite a hilly route. There's one real pull in the middle. So, I mean, the nice thing is you've done the hills by the time you get halfway. You've only got two climbs on the way back, and they're not the worst of the lot. In fact, one of them, though it's quite a long climb, is actually a really nice gradient. And that's my Thursday run is that one there. So anything between 9.5 and 9.7, depending on exactly which way I tweak it in terms of miles. And I'm managing, my stats are actually okay. The reason for mentioning that run, though, is because when I got back from the run, I happened to get on the scales. And I got on the scales because I'd gotten the scales when I got up this morning. And I was 14 stone whatever. When I got back from the run, and it's an hour and 30 plus, around about an hour and a half it's taking me now. And I burn an amount of body fat in that time, or an amount of calories in that time, which means that my weight does come down. I can get on the scales when I come back and my weight will have gone down. Now, it doesn't stay there, but the point is, for the first time since I started trying to lose some weight, I got on the scales and I got a figure that started with a 13. Now, it was 13, 13, 6, and clearly it didn't carry through to the next morning, which was actually today. But it's the first time I've seen it. And what tends to happen when you're in the process of trying to lose weight is that there are points in the day where you weigh different through the course of the day. And I can fluctuate a couple of pounds over the course of a day. But there's that first point when you see a weight and you know you're working towards it. So if you're trending down, which is obviously because I'm trying to lose weight, then that's what I'm doing. I'm trending down. Then post-run pre-breakfast is essentially the lowest I will be. That's my optimal weight in terms of down, if that makes sense. So consequently, after the longest run I do for the week, before I actually then go and eat something or drink something, that is that point. And then obviously over the course of the next week or fortnight, I will get down to that figure, if that makes sense. So the important thing is the first time you see something, if you've got kind of target things in your head, then seeing that target thing for the first time, even though you know that in reality that's every bit of situation being perfect that gets you there, that gives you that number, that gives you that lift, what you know is that if that's still the first time you've seen that number, then you are working towards it. And it's the first time I've seen it. Now, to give you some context of that, I think the last time I weighed 13 stone anything was in 1996. That's the last time I recall being a weight below 14 stone. So we are now talking potentially not quite, but close to 30 years since I've seen that figure on a set of scales, which is a little bit mind-boggling, even though, as I keep saying, I don't feel particularly as different as I should feel. That is still a little bit, that's still a little bit mind-boggling for me. So I'm trying not to bang on about this, though it's a fairly big thing in my life at the moment. I'm trying not to bang on about it, but I am going to say it for that, because I'm not expecting to see a 12, right? I'm not going that far. I think I would look ill. And certainly, if I do another half a stone and get to 13 and a half, which is kind of a loose plan, I'm still, my BMI will still say I'm overweight. But then I don't know if BMI is a figure that makes sense for a, you know, a 6 foot fairly broad bloke. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. And certainly, you know, I've not had anybody to turn around or has turned around and told me that BMI is an absolute perfect measure of anything. But the point is, even if I get as far as what my original target was, and that target will be something like a 15, 16% reduction in my overall body weight, I'm still going to be technically overweight. So read into that what you will. But as of that moment, and obviously it's gone away since, but as of that moment, then that was a line in the sand, I guess.
Friday.
Wow, I can't believe we've got to 17 minutes. It feels like I've literally just started. I'm not convinced I've said anything worth listening to at this point. But anyway, we're nearly there. If you got this far, well done. I don't know what you've gleaned from it or anything. But them's the breaks, I guess. Two things to finish. Just little things, really. I bought a shirt and a jumper from the charity shop today. Kind of incentivized by the kids and what they're doing. I just happened to be walking through Home Firth and I popped my head in the charity shop, actually just to go and have a look at the books. And then happened to just glance at the clothes on the way past and found a shirt and a sweatshirt. And thought, do you know what? They both look nice and yeah. So, I can't remember the last time I did that. And I should do it more often. Why am I not doing it more often? Really? The other thing, sorry, that almost was just me talking out loud whatever was going through my head, which I suppose is what this is, but you know what I mean. I'm still kind of going back over that and wondering why I haven't done it sooner. Cole's Corner is going to be 20 years old this year. Cole's Corner is an album by Richard Hawley. It's the one that really started to get him some attention. It was nominated for a Mercury. It references a place in Sheffield where Cole Brothers used to be, not where the last incarnation was, but where the previous incarnation of Cole Brothers department store was. And it's a place where couples used to meet. If you were arranging a date, then you would often meet at Cole's Corner. That was the thing. The album cover itself is actually the Stephen Joseph Theatre in Scarborough, rather than anywhere in Sheffield. But it was picked because it was evocative of that time. Obviously, Richard Hawley, Sheffield stalwart and grown up and spent all his life there. So, you know, knows exactly what he's talking about. And it's something that I've spoken to my dad about as well. And it was my dad that bought me the album. And I got it after it came out, so I never got to see him on the Cole's Corner tour. The first time I got to see Richard Hawley was on the True Love's Gutter tour, and that was just absolutely astonishing. But Cole's Corner remains very, very important to me as an album. Anyway, 20th anniversary, he's touring the album and he's going to play it in full with a string section, which I'm really looking forward to. And I've just ordered the vinyl. I've just ordered the 20th reissue vinyl. Richard's always put his albums out on vinyl. And the original ones are very, very hard to come by. I should have bought True Love's Gutter when it was out on vinyl. I didn't. The cheapest I've seen it, just scanning around tonight. And there has been reissued. You can pick it up from his shop for 50 quid. But even 50 quid's a lot of money for a vinyl album. But the originals are going for north of 300 now. Because I guess there aren't many people who want to sell them. And if there weren't very many made, that's what they ultimately go for. I've ordered the Coles Corner issue. I've got four or five of his albums on vinyl. But I haven't got that one. I've got the first two, but I've not got that one. So I'm looking forward to having that on vinyl, which will be nice. And because of that, I'll get the opportunity to pre-order tickets for the show, and he's playing at the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. So as much as I'd love to see it in Sheffield, and if he does play it in Sheffield, I'm going to have to try and get a ticket for that. It's going to be fairly special to see it by the seaside, and it's going to be fairly special to see it in the Tower Ballroom, which is somewhere that I've never been. So what a nice way to finish the week. And if you've never heard Cole's Corner, then go and listen to Cole's Corner. And you know what? I'm just going to call the album, this album, I'm just going to call this week's pod Cole's Corner if we haven't used it before. I can't imagine I would have done, but I suppose it's entirely possible. Do you know what? Let's check in real time. Let's be part of this whole process. I'm just going to search in Captivate for Cole's Corner and see if it comes up. You can hear me pressing now, can't you? And it doesn't appear to be coming up with anything. So I think there's a very good chance that I've never, ever used Cole's Corner as a title. I'll try again. No, right. So let's go with Cole's Corner as a title for this week. I'll put a link on to that particular song, which you may well have heard. And go and check out that album. And check out Craig Joyner as well, because absolutely fantastic. And with that, I will leave you in peace. I hope you're well. I hope everything's going okay in your world. I hope you're finding a bit of time to find a bit of sanity and a bit of peace and a bit of anything. And for those of you who will be travelling, because next time I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to be in the Netherlands at Port Zeeland for the Marillion convention, the Marillion weekend. So for those who may be there, I'm really looking forward to seeing you. And for everybody else, take care. Have a great weekend. I will speak to you soon.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.